Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Champs At Last, the podcast where you just chat shit about wrestling. I'm Andrew, and as always, I'm joined by Lee. How are you, mate? You good?
I'm not too bad, Andrew. Yourself?
I'm pretty grand, to be honest. Pretty grand. Despite my nasally tone this week, as I am getting over a cold, as this is what happens when you spend your weekend outside, getting soaked, camping, then just a casual 2 hours in a hot tub. All those elements, surprisingly, you get a little bit ill. I got over it in a couple of days, but, you know, I still sound a little bit like this. So, you know, I'll blow my nose before the show. Hopefully,
just a quick question.
Yes.
How many women were in the hot tub with you?
Just one. And I was related to them by blood. So
that's not good. Then. Quickly moving on before I ask any more.
Whereas Ollie, I think, was just in his underpants. Considering it's pretty much his house, he was on who didn't have, you know, swimwear.
I've met Ollie on a few occasions. We converse occasionally on Facebook and Twitter.
He's a good lad.
I fully expect that man to be free balling in his hot tub, to be fair. Even with you there.
I wouldn't have given a shit. I'd have probably gone, yeah, let's do it. I did see his brother's arse, as I very nearly got his side profile. Because we just happened to be walking past, and he's going in the hot tub in the middle of the day, so it's bright sunshine. We've only been there about an hour, and there he is, just whipping him off to put his swim trunks on to get in. The other people are already in the hot tub. Two of them were like two kids, basically, and then it's just gone, yeah, fuck it, I'm just gonna whip him on, as you do. So I did get to see a bit there.
Cool.
Yeah.
The exciting adventures of Andrew Scar.
Indeed. We get to see 40-year-old men take their clothes off.
What an open. I don't think we're going to top that.
It's a great cold open. Nice. Well done. And considering it's fucking coming home.
Well, to be honest, that's where I thought you were going with it. Instead, no. You and your hot tub tales.
I know. That was off the cuff. I didn't prepare that beforehand.
That is definitely the name of your book, just Hot Tub Tales, mate.
Yeah. Very right trash.
Pretty much.
/ upper middle class. It's very much in that vein.
It's a fine line you walk along, yeah, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, and it's one that I do walk alone.
All right, Dave. Calm down.
Okay, well, that's slightly thrown me because I was not prepared to tell that story this evening. So, awesome. Anything exciting happened to yourself this week?
Nothing whatsoever, mate.
Fantastic.
Cheers for putting up 3 minutes.
Cool. In that case, let's talk wrestling. Do you want to start with Great American Bash?
Yeah, why not? It was the earliest thing in a week.
Yeah, because Raw doesn't count. No. Although you said you enjoyed Raw. You texted us saying, I'm watching Raw. I'm quite enjoying it.
Then Drew McIntyre cut the most babyface promo ever and it fucking fell off a cliff. And I was like, I'm just going to... I didn't make it to the end of the show, put it that way.
Did you manage to see, and I've got to try and get this right. I think it must have been, of course. So it would have been Oscar and Alexa Bliss versus Nia and Shayna?
Yeah.
Was that a match on the card?
It was a three-way match, I think, like a six-person tag.
Oh, jeez.
Because you had Naomi, Oscar, and
Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross.
Yeah.
that sort of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah,
it was weird. Okay. Shit. Yeah.
Sure.
I hate what I've done to Nikki Cross. Or Nikki
ASH, almost superhero.
Yeah.
We will certainly talk about women's tag.
Yeah. On one plus note from Raw, Kofi Kingston cut an absolute fire promo.
Okay.
I've never heard such fucking vigor from Kofi.
Okay.
And there was no stupid bullshit pancakes involved. It was all gas.
Okay, all right.
Good shit.
Fair enough. It's a shame he's going to lose, but
cool. Yeah, but you know, he cut a promo. I was happy.
Yeah, he doesn't need to title to be over anyway, does he? Okay.
Yeah, true that. So NXT, give me your thoughts. Let's break down this card.
I mean, I enjoyed it. I know you said to me you weren't exactly that enamoured, and
I found it a hard watch, to be honest.
I didn't necessarily find it a hard watch. I think it was just felt like a good edition of NXT. It didn't feel like a takeover light, which I think is what they're obviously more trying to go for. It felt more just, yeah, like a good edition of NXT, where if you compare that later on, as we may well do, and talk a little bit about AEW's Road Rager.
Yeah.
Felt a little bit more elevated. But just bringing up the card again now.
So it did open with MSK versus Ciampa and Thatcher.
Indeed. Ciampa's out first. Fuck that.
Yep. All in all, very good match. Solid opener.
Yep, really, I was hyped for that. It was a good match.
Really enjoyed it. Stopped my work, which I was currently doing at the time. And was literally like, I'm just going to sit and watch this for a bit. Probably why I wasn't so enamoured with the show was because we've obviously had quite a busy week. I had to like jimmy into while I was working at home when I went to.
Yeah, sure. I think I watched this round about like 6 o'clock in the morning. Because delightfully, I decided I was going to be like wide awake at 5:30, it seemed. I'm like, oh, cool. This is fun.
What, on Wednesday?
Yeah.
It's not like you had like a really late night that Wednesday night.
No, it's not like I was up till midnight.
Yeah.
And yet never felt tired once, to be fair. Today, knackered. So, yeah, I just thought, oh, fuck it, I should watch NXT. I felt that was good. I'm glad that they didn't change the titles there. I know I spoke last week that this was the match that I was a little bit worried where NXT might go. Yes, you're already laughing because you know where this is going.
Yeah.
And yeah, I didn't need to fear that they were going to take the titles off MSK and just have some overbooked nonsense of having two random people as a tag team to then win titles. Nah. They'll save that for the women's division, obviously.
Yeah. But yeah, really enjoying the match. Well paced, good spots.
Four excellent workers.
Yeah. Don't know what they're going to do with Ciampa and Thatcher going forward.
I don't really know what they were doing in this interim, to be honest.
When they kind of split them up, but don't actually split them up. So now they're going to go back into a feud with each other and they're just going to go, ah, we're done. Thatcher can go after fucking Swerve. He seems like the sort of man who'll be pissed off by that gimmick, so you know, it kind of works.
Oh, he's not going to be happy with that. No way.
It's
not going to stand for that young people nonsense.
He can actually replace Alexander Wolf in Imperium.
Yeah, but he shouldn't be replacing Alexander Wolf, should he?
True that.
Should be replacing Fabian Aichner.
Anyway, what was the second match on this?
Second match was Million Dollar Title.
Didn't really see too much of it. What were your thoughts?
considering the first match was a ladder match and a ladder match that I very much enjoyed.
Yeah.
This was just an NXT weekly match. It was very good. Because like I said to you, the LA Knight character has grown on me.
Yeah.
I get it a lot more. I can see what he's doing. And the feud works, so it's fine. Surprised that Ted DiBiase wasn't around. There was no doubting that they were going to have another good match because they've had that chemistry together already now. So there's nothing wrong with it at all. And we could all see that the finish a mile off because as soon as they put that stipulation, it was always going to be, well, there's got to be some payoff to that.
Yeah.
So we're going to get some stupid bollocks for the next 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
I'll probably highly enjoy those segments. So, you know, bring it on.
This is what I don't get with, to be honest, WWE as a whole at the moment, but more so in NXT because I'm watching it more.
Yep.
Is they've started off big with a ladder match, then the next match is just a straight up singles match. And you're like, well, you've kind of booked yourself into a corner here, so where do you go next?
Yes. And
to be honest, the main event definitely had that issue as well.
Yes. Yes, it did.
But yeah, it's just little things like that that are really like pissing me off. It's like, okay, we're going to draw him in 1 week and then we'll worry about the rest later. And then when it comes to later on, they're like, we don't know what to do.
You can argue that a little bit with AEW as well, to be honest. You had blood and guts, and yet still the Pinnacle and Inner Circle are still all feuding with each other in some form.
I will get back to that.
Insane.
When we're done talking about NXT.
Sure. Third match on was the women's NXT tag team titles.
Right. I'm just going to put the mic and the headset down and let you talk I'm going to give you 7 minutes.
Brilliant. Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae defending their titles against Io Shirai and Zoe Stark. No problems with the match at all. No problems at all. Two very good workers and then two women that, you know, are beginning to step up. And, you know, getting that ring experience at the moment. I'm not particularly sold on Zoe Stark, but.
I'm not a fan.
I don't mind that she was in this match, you know, like it's not like she was really bad and bought the match down, you know, I'm not going to say that.
But she should have been the one taking the pin. That was the whole reason for being in the match, in my opinion. Someone who can eat a loss and it doesn't really fucking matter.
Yes. Instead, I didn't think this was going to be the one where they were just going to put the titles on random people. But considering this is now the fourth champions they've already had, he's counting it. I'm right. It's four. It's kind of ridiculous. And I said to you via text, I was so excited when Tegan Nox appeared. As soon as that battery thing came up, I went, oh shit, yeah, that's probably going to be Tegan Nox, isn't it? Because I had read things about that she was stepping on the turn. She'd been having, you know, a couple of dark matches around. And I was like, oh yeah, cool. As soon as I saw her at the top of the ramp and it flashed back to Candice LeRae, I went, oh, shit. Shit.
Yeah.
Now I remember the storyline, and I know exactly what's going to fucking happen now. I can't believe they got to do this.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Why couldn't I just had the champs retain, do that at the end? It still would have been cool. It would have completely ended the tag feud.
Which was never a feud.
Yeah. No, everyone could have gone their separate ways. They could have put the tag belts on the back burner for a bit, but still had them on an actual tag team, and everything would have been fine. Tegan might have even got a tag partner involved, so they could have debuted someone new. You know, they could have done.
There was exactly, yeah. There were ways to have.
Dakota Kai could have been desperate for a belt, and then maybe tried to like interweave back in with Tegan.
Team fucking kick, yeah.
They could have gone a lot of ways for it, and they didn't.
And I honestly don't understand the whole booking of. I would say the tag divisions themselves, but particularly how they booked the women's tags. The fact that they had the splinter belts for just NXT, I thought, you know, was strange anyway. I've always said to you, why not just have them defended across all brands? I know it was probably a little bit difficult with the pandemic and stuff, how it was going, but just have the belts defended across all the brands, because they didn't have that many tag teams. Not legitimate ones anyway. You know? Yeah. That would have made things more exciting, that anyone could have shown up on any shows and been around. Instead, they've treated the two actual tag teams as kind of real shitty champions. Because like Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez had been a partnership for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
So it made sense that they were the first champs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they didn't have to win anything to take those belts, and then made them like absolute pricks by losing 20 minutes later to the other team that were just two people from the Dusty Classic. They had the belts for however long it is, longer than they should have done.
Yeah.
So then, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, they've lost it now to an actual tag team because the Wave become a good faction. You know, they've intertwined themselves into title matches everywhere else. So this works. Oh, cool. They've got some gold. Johnny gets some gold as well. You know, we'll have a bit of storyline there. Cool. Nah. We'll have them lose to literally just two people, the founder gone, do you want to tag just because we can? Okay. And honestly, I have no idea what they're going to do with Io Shirai and Zoe Stark. I couldn't give a shit about the partnership.
Yeah.
Because Io Shirai, they're obviously just doing it so Io isn't in the title picture.
Yeah, yeah.
They should have called her up, man, if that's what they wanted to do. They should have just called her up. I know she's going to get lost to the fucking ether because he's brought to SmackDown. But if she ends up on SmackDown, you're telling me you don't want to see Io Shirai versus like Bianca Belair again, or her versus Bayley, Sasha Banks. Like, come on.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about something what I found positive on this NXT, and that was the Gargano Kieran Cross promo. I swear I thought the match was going to be at Great American Bash. I don't know whether I dreamt it or not, but I could have sworn it was going to be Great American Bash.
I did have to check the card again to think if I'd missed anything, but I don't know.
But I don't really know when they're going with the whole Kieran Cross can't wrestle thing, because if he beats everyone on the roster yet he still can't wrestle, how shit does that make your roster? So they've got to be very careful with that.
Yeah, I think it's more the, yeah, I don't know, like the Braun Strowman.
But like, thing. When like, Cross said like Candice wears a pants in a relationship.
All you do is wake up in the morning and wear your wife's pants.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Your wife's jeans. Because if we say pants here, like, we assume he's wearing her underwear.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say jeans.
That's how I took it anyway. like Cross knows he's a bit kinky and he's just...
It wouldn't surprise me, if I'm honest.
Then Gargano just fires back and goes, you couldn't even lace my wife's boots. And I was like...
And if they are running the angle of Cross can't wrestle, then, Candice LeRae has definitely done more on the scene than Cross has, so he's probably right.
So yeah, that was fun shit. Then you've got the added spice of Samoa Joe as special referee.
But actually no need, but thank the Lord that Mr. William Regal went, oh, fuck you two. You know what? Joe's going to be ref. And I went, yes, please.
He's obviously going to get touched by one.
Provoked. Provoked. Yes.
And then...
I can't wait, man.
Then it's going to lay one, if not both of them out.
He's definitely going to knock someone out, man.
It might be some dusty finish bollocks going on here, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect from it at all.
But with the rumours that Cross is going to get called up, didn't they have him drop the belt next week? But then that begs the question of, why didn't they do it in the Great American Bash? You know, going to do that. Surely that would garner more interest.
Indeed. And
but now
wonder why they picked Johnny Gargano to do it.
Mainly because they probably know he's not going to be called up anytime soon.
Yeah, it's too small, bless him.
So yeah, that was some good shit.
It was. Then that brought us on to Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Cole, baby.
It was entertaining. I called the booking a mile off, but I think we all did, apart from Sully.
Yes. The fact that I literally went, oh, I think we've all picked the same, and I really went, oh no, we didn't say Kyle. Like, what are you doing, young man?
Yeah, I think this is the end of Kyle's push.
Yeah.
I think they've kind of gone, he's got no mic work charisma.
It was fun while it lasted. He had a couple of bangers with Finn.
And maybe they're just going to let him wrestle now and just not be in a gimmick.
But, yeah. I'd stick him in a tag with Kushida, fucking.
Now, I'll have him and Bobby Fish go back as a tag team.
You've got to get Bobby Fish, fit and actually on TV for a consistent amount of time.
True. But that's what I would do. I'll put them back in a tag team, give them the belts and never take them off them.
Sick.
until Fish got injured at some unrelated point.
Exactly.
Basically, just never allow Bobby Fish to go to War Games again because,
All bad shit, Pete done.
Bad shit always happens to him.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so I mean, I didn't hate it. It just didn't really go anywhere. It was a match that I've seen a million times before. It felt like, and you knew that we're going to go 50-50 booking, and we'll probably get some sort of third match.
I never did it with backstage brawling and all that sort of shenanigans, and it was like.
Yeah.
It felt like it naturally petered out. I mean, it's they want to interact in a bigger format like they did in the Fatal 5-Way when they had like little moments. Completely fine with that. That adds more to the story. But I didn't need another one-on-one match which was technically out of the fucking blue.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So, how are you comparing that to AEW Road Rager? Their first show with genuine fans.
I thoroughly enjoyed Road Rager. The fans definitely added to the experience. They were loud, it was frantic. The strap match to open the show was actually really good.
I have heard good things about it. I've not managed to go back and watch that yet.
Like, usually strap matches can be a bit shit.
Yeah,
this one was actually good. In the match, they teased what happened later by the lights going out.
Yep, saw that.
I thought that was great. But yeah, it killed off the Cody
QT. Oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I think that was why I was most excited to see Malakai back. Because
something that really made me laugh is QT's record in 2021 is 21-2.
How was he not like number one contender?
Exactly. I was just like,
I mean, I don't want to say that because fucking hell, I ain't watching him wrestle Kenny Omega. Thank you.
No, I think we're gonna finally get Hangman versus Omega based on one of the loudest pops I've heard in a very long time.
I still think when's Full Gear? I can't remember which one's next.
We've got All Out next, which is
All Out, okay.
September. But they've got Fight for the Fallen next week and the week after.
Oh, that Fighter Fest.
No, it's Fighter Fest next, sorry.
Okay.
And then they've got Fight for the Fallen. And then it's All Out.
Okay. In that case,
All Out Balls about the same time. That a lot of 90-day no-compete clauses just expire. Unless they've already fucked up a load of contracts.
You know, oh, I bet there's a lot of people in the back going, oh, how many other people have we only done a 30-day contract for, you morons?
I bet someone's head fucking rolled in the legal thing this morning.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm going to say we might get Kenny Omega Hangman Page match. Say like a night two of Fighter Fest. He'll lose.
Maybe, yeah.
He'll lose. Setting up a longer storyline to then win it in September.
I actually agree with you now.
There's a little cheeky booking for you.
You also had the in-ring debut of Andrade.
Did? Do you know, like, have you seen his entrance or anything like that?
Yeah, I watched someone.
You were watching it, okay. Do you know what character he came out as?
I presume it was a tribute to his uncle, to be honest, and didn't think too much of it.
I think it was him coming out as Black Mask from DC Comics.
Alright, okay.
Looked pretty sweet, to be fair.
Yeah, it did look good.
Yeah.
And then you had a Britt Baker fire promo.
I need to check that out because you guys have spoken a lot about that today.
The crowd fucking popped. And then something which didn't make it onto the actual show, and I recorded it in between, I presume, the dark recording and like the actual main show.
Yeah.
And Ricky Starks doing a promo. Very good on the mic. That boy can talk.
Oh, yeah.
And like, the show was that packed, it didn't even make it onto the fucking show.
Wow. Okay.
I was like, but there was no Miro on the show.
Nope.
I was like, as we were breaking down the roster earlier, we were like, this is actually very, very deep now.
It really is.
It's like surprisingly deep, like it's just crept up on everyone.
Yeah, because they managed to have a mixed tag match, Chris Statlander and Orange Cassidy.
Yeah.
Against
Bunny and the Blade.
Indeed. Is the Butcher injured at the minute?
I presume so, because he wasn't like ringside.
Or yeah, so I haven't seen him for a bit.
But yeah, and that was some good shit as well, to be fair.
Again, four very good competitors, so I imagine it was. It's weird that they haven't used Bunny.
They've used her very badly, to be fair, because she's had about six gimmick changes in the 2 years she's been in AEW. With none of them having explanations as to why she's changed as well.
Nope. And probably had barely one match with any of those gimmicks.
So, you know, but hopefully they keep them two together at least, because it seemed to work. And then, obviously, what we alluded to earlier is the debut of Malakai Black.
Indeed.
In AEW. The name's fucking wank. He should just be Tommy End and that's it. End off.
Well, Taz called him fucking Tommy End.
It was Excalibur.
Sorry.
Come on. They're not gonna let Taz loose on a fucking first show back with a big crowd, are they?
Yeah, you're right. Cross.
But yeah, no, they did actually cover it up well by just going, it is Tommy End. And there's like, but this guy's different and he wants to be known as Malakai Black. I was like, that's kind of okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't give a shit.
I don't like the reference to the WWE Aleister Black. Because they all seem to do it, like they've all got references to their fucking WWE name. I'm like, just let it go. Like, rebuild it. Where instead this Malakai Black character is literally just an extension of his WWE ending, because it was he had the same eye with the contact lens in.
Yeah, still got the bruise.
He alluded to the having his eye removed and the bruising and everything. And I was like, if he starts cutting those religious-esque sort of promos, I'm like, this is just going to be like instead of Big E, it's just going to be Cody. And I believe you should just switch it to.
Pretty much. Just gone look. I had all this content that I was going to use for the next 6 months, but then decided to drop me. So here I am. I've had 30 days. I couldn't think of another character in 30 days. You know, normally get 90 days, I think, of something to do. So I've just come as I am. Is it all right? Ghost gone, yeah, fuck it. Let's face it, when I got here, first thing I did was smash a throne, mate. It just happened to look exactly like the one that Triple H used the last time I saw him. So I think he'll fit in. I think he'll be fine. I popped for the fact that he's gone straight into the feud with Cody. I know you were like, oh shit, he's going to get Cody now. Yeah, sure, I have that fear. But
to be honest, I was expecting to get a reaction out of Greg, and I never got any reaction.
I know, yeah.
And
yeah.
That fucking annoyed me more, to be honest.
I know what he's baiting. I know what he's doing. I never bought the whole Nightmare Family Cody bollocks. I just didn't care.
Yeah,
like, who is QT Marshall? Give a shit. Whereas at least Aleister Black, like, mate, I'll watch this. They stick this on as a view. Let's go do some shit, man. I mean,
I will say, though, the Black Master Cody looked fucking terrible.
You'll get better. Well, it's probably just better selling by one.
Yeah. Cody was like, I'm going to no sell the fuck out of this.
I'm just going to fall to the floor, mate. Okay.
So, yeah. It's going to be good to see where that goes.
It is. Apologies if I've missed random things in between we'll come back to, but main event looked pretty sweet.
Yeah, I mean, anything with Penta and Eddie Kingston, you know I'm going to watch.
Had Eddie Kingston doing Eddie Kingston shit?
Penta doing Penta shit.
Yeah, involved thumbtacks. Did see a drop kick onto a chair into groin/arse area.
I mean, the Young Bucks are getting more and more ridiculous and more heel-like. And to be honest, I'm all for it because it's fucking entertaining.
I don't think it's too much of a stretch either for their characters.
No, neither do I, to be fair. Have you seen Kenny Omega's facial hair, by the way?
Not in so much that I have thought about it.
You need to go and check that out because it's quite impressive.
Okay.
Yeah, because you had Young Bucks last week with Fu Manchus.
Yes, I did see that they had shaved new mustaches in.
Yeah. So I think that's part of a weird dick's gimmick.
Makes sense.
So we're just going to have weird facial hair. But yeah, it's fine. There's a lot of fun shit going on. Don Callis is on commentary.
Yes. He's been fired, though.
Him and Tony having pop shots at each other on commentary is one of the low-key things I like about the show. It's that sort of pettiness that I want to get over in life.
I think AEW got some good shit going in a minute. Got a few story threads that are working out. I'm down for it.
All in all, very good show. Can't wait till next week, to be fair.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think between that and NXT, I'm pretty happy with the rest of them that is available to them. The odd bit of SmackDown.
So yeah, some good shit in wrestling. And do you want to break the news that instead of doing the King of the Ring 93 review, which we will go back to at some point.
Yes. Probably in classic NXT fashion, 2 weeks' time. Though.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks' time.
We actually got our hands on a bit of an exclusive.
We did indeed. So our friends over at Wrestling Resurgence were kind enough to drop us an early release of a behind-the-scenes documentary of their new show that they have done. That show is Unruly Music Hall Sport Theatre of Wrestling. And to be honest, I was excited for it anyway because I enjoy the things that Resurgence do. That is no surprise to yourself. And I think it's definitely something that listeners of this podcast know that we are partial to a bit of Resurgence. So I was looking forward to seeing what they had been kind of been doing. So I know that they would want to do something during this pandemic time. You know, they wouldn't want to just be sitting around doing nothing. They would have seen other promotions in the UK that have done a few other things now, putting a few shows, even if there's no crowds there. So, you know, I think they would have wanted to do something and obviously do something a little bit different. And with the roster that they have and the people they work with, have put on this theatre of wrestling, starring Charles Crowley, Giselle Shaw, Gene Money, and Clementine.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of how to sort of describe it, to be honest. It's a kind of a look at the history of how wrestling has evolved in terms of influences and stuff, I guess.
It's very much a look at, well, from what I gather, is wrestling's early influences.
Yeah.
Through, like, the musicals, the circus shows, and that sort of.
Yeah, the theatrical magic and things. Yeah.
And how it's kind of evolved throughout the years.
Yeah, and because they're always looking, you know, like WWE don't, as much as they are the world wrestling entertainment, they're very much the entertainment. Like, you're not allowed to call it wrestling, it's sports entertainment. And I think that's kind of where Resurgence take it a lot of the time. Them and Riptide are kind of similar in terms of it's it is more about that style and theatrical nature and how that is intertwined with wrestling, you know, and how it connects.
They're not afraid to dance across the line but still tell a story.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, the main thing is to get the audience engaged.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at Resurgence, we've seen the likes of, I said Charles Crowley, Cara Noir, but, you know, with Spike Trevet and having those storylines and kind of how they've done that, where, you know, then we've also seen Carlos Romo versus Charlie Evans, just, you know, basically just having a wrestling match. And that was great. I didn't need a storyline, just smash on some wrestling. So then, literally going in between and having some silly bollocks of an art core match, you know, just let's hit each other with canvases rather than chairs, you know. So it's always been kind of like that. And one thing that definitely came out of it, and I text you, and you've now agreed, it's kayfabe shattering as fuck. It's this documentary. Jesus.
No kayfabe whatsoever. But it was still very much done with the respect of, like, wrestling. One thing I did like is one of the points that was made is you can't have a wrestling show nowadays where it is just pure wrestling. And I like the fact they acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Because there's all the best one in the world, because I know you're a fan of pure wrestling yourself. But if you watch Nat for 2.5 hours, say, if it, in the main events on the same level as the first match on, you're going to be spent by the end of it.
Put it this way, when the Olympics are on, hopefully, in about a month's time, I'm not just going to be sitting there and watching every single, you know, qualifier and knockout medal match of you know, Greco-Roman wrestling, judo, all that shit. I'll watch some of it because I enjoy that sort of stuff, and the actual wrestlers that I like, you know full well, you know, I don't mind if they come from that background, but yeah, I'm not going to be watching all of it. I watch this sort of wrestling because I know I'm going to get some sort of storyline between. You know, how many weeks have we now been talking about how Roman Reigns is probably, you know, like the biggest superstar in the business right now across like all companies? Because of the storylines that he's has had and managed to, you know, create, he makes you want to watch every week. And that's kind of how it is. So, yeah, no, I get your point there. And you saying that as how I will say it shows that, yeah, I like just two guys wrestling. You know, I just like a Mac Classic. That is me. You know, I love a Mac Classic. But I was interested to see what you thought about not just this documentary, but when we do watch the main show this weekend and then talk about next week, is to see what you think about it. Because when we've gone to research and shows before, obviously for me, it's always been that one where I feel more at home and stuff, kind of with the crowd and things, with my background and stuff anyway, and the things I kind of like. You know, it's great. Whereas I know it's one for you where you always felt that you were a little bit left out, which seems strange to me, because when we go, you're the one that's there talking to John and to Sam and that, because you have that common interest of, you'll just talk wrestling. And if you talk about wrestling that happened more than about 2 years ago, I'm just like, all right, Lee, I'm going to go sit down, mate. I'm going to go and take a joke. I'm just nodding along going, yeah, okay. So it still feels like it's me that you know, isn't really talking to him. So yeah, I was kind of interested to see what you thought of it. And I'm glad that you're sort of excited to watch a bit more of it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to watching the actual show when it drops tomorrow, because you know me, I will watch any form of wrestling and I will form an opinion of it quite quickly, because I tend to have that mindset of, as soon as I want to watch a match, in my head I'm already thinking of how I'd book the next match, and naturally build a story from it.
Yep.
In my own head. Sometimes it plays off and you look at me like I'm a fucking genius. Other times it goes completely in the other direction to how I would book it, and that's fine because I've took it in areas I would never think of. But then this is my own downfall, because I can book so far ahead in my own head and I can do it just at a click of my fingers essentially sometimes. And it doesn't quite go in that way, and it comes across as a bit shit. That's where I'm like, oh fuck, no, shit isn't this, this, and this, and this.
Yep.
And then that takes away my own enjoyment from it. Whereas, coming from your perspective more so, if I just sat back and enjoyed the show for what it was, and then thought about it afterwards, I would probably enjoy the shit, storyline much, much more. But it is also good breaking down a terrible storyline and then going, right, this is what I would have done with it.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. I mean, it's... We'll have those conversations on the fly where we'll be at the show. If we see something, we'll take the piss, and then they go, oh man, I've just done this. Or I'll sulk for about 3 minutes. You know full well, I'm
3 minutes, 3 hours.
Yeah. If I'd have been there when, you know, Io Shirai and Zoe Stark were the stars, you know full well I'd have been salty at that show.
You'd have been there just slamming on the plexiglass, telling me to get off my wheelchair so you got something to throw. Being escorted out by security and that sort of thing.
Yeah, don't touch me. So, yeah. Getting back to the documentary itself, let me digress a little bit there. So, from what I could see, it was Giselle Shaw was an evil kind of magician.
Yeah.
And her assistant was Jean Money.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a good role, because the sort of character he plays anyway, you know, kind of outlandish, very kind of sort of pratfall, very physical comedy. And I think that will lend itself to that quite well in that segment. It'd be interesting to see Giselle Shaw in that kind of mode as well, because I don't know that much about her personality.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never heard her speak until that documentary.
I've seen a couple of promos. But nothing major. Probably similar with Clementine, to be honest. I've seen her at one show, maybe.
I know very little about her apart from what Emma has said.
Yeah, I was going to say, apart from obviously who makes her ring gear. I know a lot about her ring gear, obviously. I don't know much about her.
Em tries to fill me in on a gimmick as she's going along. Apart from that information, which I've gathered, we may have seen her at one show.
I think we have. Although, to be honest, now I'm assuming her character is literally a lion.
Yeah.
I feel that right now that is genuinely her character. From what I was watching, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
That's actually not bad. So I feel like this might actually be her actual gimmick now.
I was very intrigued by it as to how it's going to play off.
Yeah, I thought that was some good shit, to be honest.
I liked knowing where she got her influences from in terms of the movement and all that sort of stuff.
And that's kind of where I was going, because certainly watching the documentary, I know it's going to be different when it's the actual show, but having that Artemis about it, that obviously is the sort of stuff that I tend to like, whether that is just actual sports documentaries, you know full well how much I enjoy an ESPN 30 for 30.
Yeah.
How much I really enjoy NFL films. To be honest, WWE, told me their documentaries are pretty good, and they get a good 365 or a 24. But also that kind of artistic stuff. I like to see that process and how things are done. Yeah. So that was a nice kind of break. To be honest,
I enjoyed it because it created a character development. It gave you a look behind the scenes.
Yep.
So it was a new way of creating a gimmick, essentially adding a bit of depth to it. And then you could kind of see the reasoning why they were doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really like the idea of G Money as a prize fighter in like the 1920s, because he does kind of give off that vibe anyway.
Yeah, with his big boy pants on.
Yeah.
100%. I can see that as him being the stooge, the plant in the crowd. Ready? Yeah, definitely. That was what I was going to say. I remember now. I like these kind of backstage sort of items where you actually get to see the performers be themselves, because I feel I get more of a connection to them. As much as seeing Cara Noir literally just be himself was freaky as fuck. Freaky as fuck. But I still really enjoyed it. As much as what are they doing to me? Why am I watching this? It made me actually kind of, care about it more and stuff. And that goes back to other sports such mentions and things. And I can't remember which one it was now. There was definitely a 365. Might have been the Kevin Owens one. But I think even like my mom watched
it. Possibly. It wasn't a Ricochet one. I can tell you that much.
No, exactly. It wasn't that one. Still no desire to watch that one. I think it was the Kevin Owens one. And even like my mum ended up sort of sitting down and watching it, and because you get a feel of what they really are and how detached they are from the character possibly, or how close they are to the characters and things like that. I think it does help them.
I think if we're going down that road, I think the one which kind of connected with me the most WWE wise, was definitely like the Big E one.
Yes. That was incredible. Yeah, it must have been a 24. Yeah, must have been.
Yeah. And that was brilliant, because it told you about the person. Because while you always find them entertaining, if you can connect with them on another level, on any sort of level, then and that's kind of what they should be aiming for. Yeah. Which, going back to Resurgence, that's what they do a good job of. Because obviously in the Theatre of Wrestling, it's just a one-off show.
Yes.
It's not going to be any gimmick changes for anyone moving forward. But they've managed to create, especially with the documentary, like a little bit of intrigue and backstory. And, you know, it's a simple time on the telling. But Resurgence, they always do it right. They've got storytelling down to a T for the most part. And there's one or two exceptions.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be things that just don't work. For any promotion, anything that you sort of try, it's either just doesn't connect with the audience. The talent themselves just don't get into the story. The chemistry's not there with certain performers, you know, just happens. And it's not just because Charles Crowley is in it, but it did make me think of the You Are Cordially Invited to. I think very briefly spoken about on here, probably should have spoken about more because I found that an absolute riot.
Yeah, that was, it's what I would call good bollocks because you couldn't like literally link it to anything. If you just sat back and enjoyed it for what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, it took a very dark turn.
It really did. That was what was really cool about it. He's going, okay, I was not expecting that to happen there. It was one of those things where you could watch it back again because I felt that the first time I was watching it, they go, oh, I know that person. And I was literally just trying to name every person who's in there and go, I've seen them do that. I've seen them in this show. And that made me feel as in like a group that's like, no one's really kind of though. You know, I know who these people are. Like these, you know, someone else has come around to watch, like, I know this person. You know, I mean, I don't know them, obviously. You know, it'd be like me watching an Avengers movie going, oh, I know this person. Well, yeah, so do I. You know, I know that's Chris Evans, you twat. Like, you know, what are you going to know about? But, you know, it kind of felt pretty cool.
I imagine because we were both essentially marking out when watching it, we missed a lot of background stuff, I assume. So we probably went back.
You say that, I was marking out at the background stuff because it was in Wolverton, in the pub whose name I now can't remember, I'd say.
Is it the Crawford Arms?
The Crawford Arms, thank you very much. Yes. You know, so I was already marking out for the background stuff, so I don't think I was missing it, mate.
Yeah, you're normally quite good. I could probably watch it back and find like 10 different things. And you'll be like, oh yeah, you see that dickhead? That's you, that's your voice.
It is, to be fair. Oh, Christ. Yeah, so big up as always to the guys over at Wrestling Resurgence. I hope that us hyping the video doesn't come to bite us in the arse now when it's, you know, bloody awful. Imagine it was terrible now. We watched it, we're going, we've told everybody to watch it. What are we going to do? It's been terrible. But no, I think we'll be safe, to be honest. Yeah. I trust them.
On a very slim chance that it's poor, we'll just style it out like we always do.
Okay, I'll write, but sure.
I'll write a disclaimer. It'll be fine. Anyway, on that delightful note, Andrew, do you want to wrap the show up?
Yes, I will. So we are Champs Outmast. You can find us on all of the major podcast networks. So head on to Spotify, Google, Amazon, Apple, wherever you find your podcasts, we should be there. Search for Champs Outlast. We're also on the socials. Again, search for @ChampsOutlast. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, on the YouTube. Give us a like, follow, subscribe. Got content across those. Go check us out. Like I said, go check out Wrestling Resurgence, not just this week. Check them out, you know, any week you can. We'll be back next week to review the Theatre of Wrestling and discuss whatever else has happened in the week. So, and hopefully we'll be in a very good mood because England may have won a national, an actual championship. But we'll see. So good night, Lee, and I'll speak to you next time.
On that note, Andrew, it's coming home.